Jesus. I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where, you know, I am grateful. I'm grateful for this chance, for always for the times that we get to catch up and we get to share the word and truth and be an encouragement to one another. You know, we do what we can to encourage each other in the walk and in the truth. But also, one thing you got to realize is this walk, it is your walk. It is your individual relationship with your Creator. You make decision and choice in your life, and you live with the consequence of those choices. You know, it's interesting how in the world, so many people would want to try to control you, would want to try to influence your decision, your choice, the things that you do and how you do them. But really, in the end, it is your decision, your choice as you walk through life. And, you know, God has created people as free will agents, free will decision makers for a reason and for a purpose. His desire was that He would have a creation that would see and would be able to make that choice, so that those that are with Him for all eternity are those that have also in their heart chosen. Now, He first chose us, but we respond and we reciprocate. And that is a shared love that we have. Our love for our Father and His love, because He first loved us. I mean, God, while we were yet sinners, died for us to set us free from this world and the power of this world system. Which, hey, in case you haven't realized it, the world and the world system is very, very powerful. It is far more powerful than any human being's will and natural ability. You can't, in and of yourself as a human being, in corrupted flesh and surrounded by this entire system that's set up at enmity with God, you can't stand against it. The only thing that gives somebody the power to be able to overcome the world is the Spirit of Christ that lives and dwells inside of His people. It is the Spirit of Christ that quickens you, that enables you to overcome the world. Without His Spirit, you don't have that power. Now, sometimes what people try to do is they try to separate themselves. So maybe what they'll do is they'll go lock themselves in a temple or a monastery somewhere, become a shut-in, you know, just try to do whatever they can to be away from all of it. But even then, you know, there's still, even then it's, you know, it still doesn't do the trick. Whereas when the Spirit of God is in you, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere, you can do anything, and the world won't have a hold on you. Whatever it is that you do, I mean, when I say do anything, I mean that which is led by the Spirit of God. Because we are not limited. You know, you, by His Spirit, can accomplish anything. If He would lead you into something, you can do it. If He would quicken you to do something, He will give you the grace to do it. You know, throughout scriptures, there have been people that God has given them incredible assignments. And when they've looked at the assignments that God has given them in themselves, and they've realized their own limitation, they've like been, oh man, no way. There's no way I can do this. But what God does is He says, look, it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. See, the thing is whatever it is that God would quicken you to do, He'll also give you the grace to do it. He'll also give you the power by His Spirit to do it. See, He's not asking you to do something for Him that is in your ability to do. He's asking you to stay in step with him and to do that which he would have for you to do. And as you do that which he calls you to do, you'll also see his power working on your behalf to accomplish that. See, a lot of people, see, when you separate yourself from the power of God, you're left with human ability, which is limited. Or you're left with, if people plug into the world, they're left with that power that they get from the world system and their world energy. Now, the thing is, too, is in the world system, they have no ability to generate of themselves. So they have to live off the lifeblood of the saints. You know, even as scriptures talked about, you know, like Babylon itself, that in Babylon, that it had the blood of all the saints. You know, that world system is responsible for the blood of the people of God, the life of the people of God, that has been drained by that system to perpetuate itself. You know, the world stalks the true children of God. The world, it targets on the true children of God. It won't leave them alone. You know, when it sees the light, it has to try to attack the light. It has to try to put that light out. It has to try to capture it if it can, or harness it. But you notice, they can't just leave you alone. Have you ever noticed that? You can't just go someplace, just go, chill out, relax. For some reason, people have to try to be in whatever it is that you're doing, have to comment on whatever it is that you do, have to somehow, some way, be involved. You know, why is that? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered why is it that, you know, you just seek to be at peace with people, you just seek to do good by people, you just try as much as you can to help others, to bless others, to support those in need, and just to live a peaceful life? And yet, have you ever noticed that there are those that are around that just can't let you do that? You know, there's a reason for that. If you're a child of God, and those of you listening, yes, you know, you've been exposed to truth. Just the fact that you listen here, you are exposed to truth. So as a child of God, you know, you are different. You know, you are a child of light. Because in Him, you know, there is no darkness in Him. Now, He can dwell in all kinds of situations, but in Him, you know, He's holy, He's pure, He will meet those that seek Him. He'll find those that look to Him. And, you know, right now, amidst the things that you face, amidst the challenges of life, you know, sometimes the encouragement just needs to be, look, just keep on keeping on. You know, I know sometimes when we write back to people, a lot of times we'll tell them that too, especially those that are in struggling and in difficult times. You know, we tell them, keep on keeping on. You know, because there is, sometimes you just got to keep moving. You just got to keep going. And, you know, you may face situations where, you know, it stretches you on every side. It stretches that last thing that you thought you could even have within you. But you got to know that God is in it with you. And if you got it, and if you have to deal with it, you can handle it. And you can handle it because He'll quicken you to be able to handle it. You know, the Spirit of God will not leave you alone. He's not going to leave you having to fight these things alone. When you surrender yourself to the power of God, His Spirit works on your behalf. His Spirit orchestrates circumstances on your behalf. His spirit will carry you through. Whereas you, in yourself, will experience limitation, yes. But you'll also watch what he does when he intervenes into your situation and makes a way for you. You know, how many times have we seen where the true people of God, they will feel like they're defeated, like they are outnumbered, like they're outgunned, like they're, you know, painted into a corner, they're stuck. And in the middle of that, God will show up. And he will do something incredible on their behalf. He'll turn things around on their behalf and make a better way just for them. You know, God does that for his people. You know, he does that for you. He does that for you. You know, when you trust him, when you're in a difficult situation in life, when you cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You know, you can do that. You don't have to be anxious about anything in life, but you can take your prayer to him and he will meet you in those situations and make a way for you in those situations. God does that. You know, we've seen that. We've learned to trust him in that. Sometimes what happens is, you know, we do get tired. We do get worn down. We do get stretched. Because, you know, these bodies are limited. I mean, look, even Jesus got tired. Even Jesus got worn down. You know, even Jesus needed to rest. So it's okay. You know, you're not superhuman. But we do serve a God that is limitless. And that to say that whatever it is that you face, he can carry you through. Whatever it is that you're encountering, that he can make a way for you through it. And, you know, I know that sometimes one of the challenges that people face is that they look at something through their natural eyes. They look at something through what it looks like on the surface. And if you look at the situations of life like that, yeah, it'll be frustrating and aggravating and antagonizing because you'll always feel like there's no way out. But when the Spirit of God reveals something to you, he can also turn some things around in incredible ways. You know, one thing that's nice about serving the God that we serve is he is creative. I mean, just look at the world that he made. It is incredible creativity that's there. And he also has creative solutions. And, you know, he will show you creative solutions through and out of the problems that you face. And on top of that, too, hey, at any point in time, he can always do a miracle as well. You know, and a miracle essentially is when God suspends that which wouldn't usually happen and does something incredible just because it's part of his own will and own plan. So whether it's restoring limbs that, you know, have been broken, cut off, maimed, hurt, whether it is, you know, healing, whether it is, you know, causing certain circumstances to work in favor of his children, whatever it may be, you know, God works miracles. And we serve a miracle-working God. Now, one thing about the working of miracles is that a miracle is supposed to, ideally, point you towards the Creator, point you towards the Father, help to clarify, you know, his ability and control over all things. And a miracle is in and of itself is something that will, you know, for those that walk with him, a miracle is something that it's not a big deal. You know, I think what happens in the world is the world gets all excited about miracles because, you know, the world looks for signs. The world looks for power. And they'll look for that more than they'll look for actually the truth, actually our Father. They'll look for that more than they'll look for Him. And, you know, there's people that run around the world chasing after that. You know, they chase after the power. They chase after the signs. They chase after the things that can make them be in wonder and amazement. And, you know, if you chase after signs, you can be tricked. Because there's all kinds of signs. But you got to look for the spirit that's behind something. You got to look for what is the purpose of that sign. What is the purpose of that miracle? Because that which God does strengthens His people, draws them closer to Him, causes them to look in the right direction, causes them to glorify God. You know, I mean, think of that man that Jesus healed who was by the pool. I mean, when Jesus healed him, you know, well, first when he came up to me, he said, "Hey, how long you been like this?" The guy had been there 38 years. 38 years by that pool. And when Jesus... Now, you know, I know some of the scriptures out there, like when people read those translations and it says, you know, an angel came and stirred the pool. Look, you got to understand what kind of angel that was. Because there's a whole bunch of fallen angels too. And, you know, there's... and everything, you know, was created by God. God created all things. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God created everything. So there was an... but, you know, think about the nature of that situation. When that angel would go and stir that pool, all these people would go, so all these sick people sitting around in the sun, the hot stinking sun, day in and day out, waiting for a moment, so that when that moment would come, that the water would be stirred, they would all go claw all over each other to see who could be the first one to get in there, and be the one that would be healed. Now, does that sound like the loving God that we serve? All right, let's take a few other scriptures. You know, God, now this that thing stirred the water. God leads His sheep beside the what? Still waters. He restores our souls. So God leads His children by in the still water. He restores our souls. Jesus also, what did Jesus say? "I only do what I see the Father doing," right? Right. So if it was the Father that was stirring the water, He would have had to take that impotent man and put him in the pool and heal him. But what did He say? He says, "Hey, look, take up your mat and walk." Guy picked up his mat and walked. And which way did he walk? Away from the pool. Away from that deception. Away from that lie that kept him stuck in the hot sun for 38 years. You know, there's some of you out there, you've been stuck in dead religion for decades. Decades. You've been stuck in dead religion. And God would tell you, walk in the other direction. Walk in the other way. Go the other way. He would tell you, be healed and go the other way. Don't be stuck in dead religion. Now, what happened to that man that was healed? Well, you know, when the guys came and found him, when the Pharisees saw him, because this guy's walking around with his mat, which incidentally broke religious tradition, by the way. Broke religious tradition. Because he shouldn't be carrying anything on the Sabbath. And so he's walking around healed, breaking tradition. And what did the Pharisees say to him? "Hey, you know, why are you carrying your mat? the guy said, look, the guy that healed me told me to take up my mat and walk. And they were more upset about this guy carrying his mat and breaking their religious tradition than they were happy about this man that had been impotent in body for 38 years sitting by the pool that's now been healed. I mean, how messed up is that? How messed up is that? But you know what? That hasn't gone away. That has not gone away. How many people out there would rather, within religious circles especially, that they will keep their religious traditions and completely devoid themselves of that which the Spirit of God would have and would do with His people? How much of that goes on a daily basis, weekly basis, Sunday after Sunday? Think about the traditions of man and the things that people sell themselves out to and what that has done to people. Keeping people in bondage and slavery for decades. You know, here's another thing too. Choice is involved. You can choose to stay in bondage if you want to. I mean, even now as you're listening to this, you can ignore it. Sure, you can ignore it. You can continue on with whatever kind of bondage that you're in. Or you can look to Jesus, who healed the man, set him free, and told him, hey, take up your mat and walk, go. You know, you can listen to him. It's your choice. It is your choice. See, when Jesus comes by, there's healing that comes with them. And, you know, sometimes all that He wants on our side is just a simple step of faith. For us to demonstrate, too, that we want Him, we want that which He has for us, and we believe Him and trust Him. Sometimes all He wants from us is just that step towards Him, because He honors your free will. He honors your choice. And if you don't choose Him, you won't have Him. If you don't look to Him, then there's nothing there for you. You'll have the world, and you'll have the things of the world. You have all that the world offers, and you'll miss all that God intended for you. There is a peace that passes all understanding that's available for His children. There is a joy that is out there that you were intended to live in. But it comes on His terms. You know, the world has no peace. I've seen that. There's no peace for anybody in the world. There isn't. There's momentary cessations of hostilities. There is times that they drug themselves out of their minds to not have to deal with certain things. There is all kinds of substance abuse and carnal temporal pleasures, but there's no peace. There's no true lasting peace in that which the world has and that which the world does. Nothing. It's empty. And it always will be, because the world in and of itself is empty. The world has no life, because life is in Christ, and the world system has chosen darkness and chosen to detach itself from the light, to walk away from the truth. See, God's people, they themselves, though, they walk in truth. And God quickens them, God builds them, God enables them to accomplish His will in the earth, because His intention for them is good. God intends for His people to know truth and to live in truth and to walk in truth. And you know, you're not going to be crushed by the world. You're not. Yeah, I can press in on you. But it's never going to beat you. It's never going to beat you. Because if you walk with Christ, you always win. You always win. Even when it doesn't seem like you win, you still win. You still win. And you know one other thing too that God does with this is oftentimes He just hangs us out there like bait. He will hang us out there like bait. And the world will be taking all their shots at us because they see light and truth in us, but that's God's way of marking them and showing them for who they are. And then, hey, what does He do after that? Well, then they do it unto their own destruction, because they show by their attacks against the people of God that they don't want truth. They don't want Him. They don't want they don't want light. They hate the people of God. They hate the ambassadors of Christ because of what they do to them. The ambassador represents his nation, his kingdom, the kingdom that he's part of. So you are an ambassador of Christ. So what do you think that God will do to somebody that maligns and hurts his representative? What do you think he'll do? You know, what do you think people would do right in today's day? What would somebody do as a nation if there was a country that hurt their ambassador? You know? Okay, we'll multiply that by a whole lot. Because, you know, God takes the affairs of His kingdom, you know, it's He takes them serious. And when those that are out there seek to hurt and to harm those that represent Him, He remembers. And even Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I shall repay." So it's His. And God will take care of accounts. God will make sure that those that seek to hurt and to harm His children, that come against those that represent Him, that malign His ambassadors for Christ in the earth, God deals with them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about getting even. You don't have to worry about making somebody pay. I've long time just left stuff in God's hands. I've even sometimes had to pray just in hope that God would be gentle with certain people, because I know that when God puts the smack down, He really puts the smack down. And when God hits somebody, they don't, unless He's merciful, they don't recover. You know, unless He chooses to be merciful to them, they don't recover. You know, I have seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes, what God has done to certain people, you know, that have crossed those that are His. It's not nice. Not nice in a worldly sense, for sure. But it is just. God is just. God is just, and God will settle accounts and settle affairs. But, you know, for us on our side, the main thing is, hey, look, don't hold anything in your heart against anybody. Forgive, release, and move on. Move on, because there is much of life that God intends for you, and you're not going to experience that being held in the past, or not understanding your present, or being just totally enamored with what you hope the future will be. But no, you gotta just let stuff go and trust Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and the things that you need will be added unto you. God will take care of those things that you need. You don't gotta worry about it. You know, one thing I've always seen, God will take care of the need when it's needed. And whatever it is that you need, that God will take care of it at the time that you actually need it. Until then, you know, don't worry too much, you know? I mean, don't worry at all, actually. I mean, if you need to every now and then just sit down and make a few key decisions, sure. Sit down and make those decisions. But then carry on. Carry on in what God has for you. And carry on in this moment, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and with everything that you are. As you worship Him, the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart as you trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will show Himself strong on your behalf. God knows what you need. God knows the way to minister to the needs of your heart. And you have to look to Him, not to a man. Not to a man. You need to look to Him. You need to look to the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to bow your knee before the King of Kings in your own room. Bow before Him and say, Lord Jesus, I love You and I trust You. Would You please lead and guide and strengthen me this day? I go into it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pray. Ask Him. He is a just, loving, wonderful God. And He takes care of those that are His. And you are one of His. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Or you can reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix on Facebook, and you will find us. And yeah, we really enjoy getting letters and messages from people on there as well. It's a lot of fun. Hey, we love you guys. Keep in touch and keep on keeping on. Talk to you soon. Bye.